Sing to the Savior a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Trust in His might, walk in His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are His wonders and grand His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Heavens will reign,
Jesus shall reign.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man. Conquering Lion, yet suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity, come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing, come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the victor of Calvary, come, let us worship the Lord.
Jesus has won.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man. Conquering Lion, yet suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Come, let us worship. Worship, come, let us worship the Lamb.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise."
Remain standing for prayer. Father, we come before you this morning rejoicing, Lord, that you have brought us here and gathered us together to be in the midst of your people, in the midst of your presence, that we might hear the word of God and that our lives will be forever transformed and changed so that we will become more like you, that we might serve you with all that is in us and love you as you desire. We pray for our pastor as he is in Argentina with his family, that you give him wisdom and strength. You give the whole situation, Lord, your blessing and your divine guidance. For you are gracious and you are the source of all of our love. And we thank you, Lord, that we can gather together without fear. And we can gather together to praise your name and to serve you. And that our heart's desire will be Christ. Lord, we lift up to you those who bring your word on a continual basis, those who are working to bring the word of God to people. We pray for our missionaries. We lift up to you the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose and pray for your divine blessing and guidance to them, that they will bring the word of God to people that they may hear and they may believe. Pray that you be with Carl and Ruth Knott in Spain and bless them with a ministry which expands and grows beyond their wildest dreams and imaginations. For you are the God that can and will do it. We thank you. We also lift up to you Daniel and Miriam Lacey as he is in the motorsport ministry, traveling from place to place, being with people whose lives are on the line, doing what they enjoy and what they love. And Lord, use him in a masterful way to show them that there is more to life than here, but there is eternity. We lift up to you Fred and Carol Lewis as Fred is recovering from a sickness and is in Oregon, that you bless him with health, restore the strength of his body, and help him to be the example and a shining light of you. For you, Lord, are the one who heals and strengthens. We lift up to you David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea, and thank you, Lord, for their ministry, their service unto you. And thank you, Lord, that you will expand and grow their ministry, and you'll use them in a mighty way. For Martha Peretti and dealing with what we sometimes would look as the lowest of the low, but she deals with the drug addicts, and Lord, it is you that will lift up and will restore. We lift up to you Eusebio and Marixa Perez, also in Spain, that you bless them with your presence and bless them with the growing church and people of God gathering together to lift up your holy name. We pray for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in a very difficult industry where people are continually telling others that a child is not a child until it's sometimes even at home. But Lord, you know best. It is you that has knit us together in the womb. It is you that knit all life together. So we pray that you give them wisdom and give them patience and peace as they bring the word of God to people that are in a difficult situation. We also pray for Giovanni and Barbara Vandano in Guatemala, that you bless them with your word, bless them with growth and peace, bless them with stable families that love you and cherish you. And we also thank you, Lord, for the offering that is about to be taken, that, Lord, you are gracious, and you give, and you restore to us, and we desire to give to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Luke. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 599. We will be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word? Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him after their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us, thou? How I hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, of which we deserve neither. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to endure the wrath we deserve, so that we could justly be adopted into your family, only because he paid for our sins in full at the cross. And now, Father, we are assured in the Scripture that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. We thank you for such a great salvation. We pray for Pastor Otero and Mrs. Otero that you would provide a smooth path in resolving those family issues in Argentina, and we pray for their safe return. We pray now for your servant, our faithful brother, Pastor Greg Tomlinson, as he comes to deliver the truths from the Bible. Bless him and grant him wisdom, and us as well, as we learn from the wisdom of your word preached. We pray for all those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD that they may be blessed also, many of whom we love as fellow followers of Christ, those we have seen and those we have not seen. And if any remain in unbelief, we pray that they also would also believe the gospel and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, Joe.
Yes.
It is a wonderful blessing to look out and see all the wonderful faces of people that I know and love and care for. And I thank you for being here today, and thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. You know, as I was looking at this passage, the thought that came into me is in verse 49, where the scripture says, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" So I started thinking about a father's business. You know, in almost any country in the world, a man will start a business and he'll, you know, maybe it's a bakery, maybe it's a convenience store, maybe it's an electronics industry, whatever it is. He'll start a business, and oftentimes his family will join him. His wife will work the counters. His children, when they're old enough, will help run some of the stock back and forth. They'll join him in his business. And eventually, they may even take over the business or enter into a similar line of work. Me, I entered into the business of my father. He was an engineer. I entered into engineering. And one of the business families that we think of, especially at this time of year, is the military. And so, for example, Arthur MacArthur, anyone ever hear of him? He received a Medal of Honor during the Civil War. And yet General Douglas MacArthur later followed him, leading the military and during the wars. Theodore Roosevelt won the Medal of Honor in 1898. His son, Teddy Jr., won it on D-Day in 1944. Today, the tradition continues. You know, we hear a lot about the recruiting goals aren't being met. What we don't hear about is that reenlistments are up. Those that are over there, especially the combat zones that are over in Iraq, they're enlisting at higher rates than anticipated. They want to stay. And families are getting into the business as well, continues. I was reading about a General Ray Odierno who left the Middle East in March of 2004 on the same day that his son Tony arrived as a platoon leader. Later, Tony was caught in an ambush, lost the use of his left arm, but he still led his people. His family was proud of him. He did his work. He followed his father. He continued in the family business. So again, I want to look at this issue of the family business. Jesus says in verse 49, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He's looking at his parents and saying, "Isn't it obvious what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to do what my dad taught me. I'm supposed to be doing what my father wants me to do." And yet he wasn't in carpentry, was he? And what's interesting as well is that he was 12 years old. Many times in that era, that would be the time you're first looking for your job. He's looking for his first job, and what's he doing?
Where's Dad? What's Dad do? I'm going to follow Dad and do what Dad does. Nowadays, our kids often don't start work until they're 16, 17, 18. But there, he was 12. So I'm going to look at four questions today as we look at the family business. The first question I want to look at is, what is a family business? If you're going to follow someone into the family business, you ought to know what it is. So we're going to look at what the family business of Jesus is. We're going to look at the second one is, how do you enter the family business? Can I just go up and say, Victor, I'm joining your family business? How is the family business earned, learned, and how is the family business carried out? Those are the four questions I want to look at today. First, what is the family business? What is, when Jesus said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business, what in the world is he talking about? Let's go over to Matthew chapter 9. That's page 566 in our pew hymnals. Matthew chapter 9, verses 11 to 13. So we can build up the picture of just what is the family business. Matthew 9, starting in verse 11. Jesus says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. Oh, no wonder it didn't make sense. I'm in Matthew 11. You guys are all thinking he's nuts. Well, it's true. But Matthew 9, sorry. That's okay. I've been called all kinds of things. Matthew 9. Okay, there's a 9 there. Matthew 9, verses 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, the family business of Jesus is not to go and find out who among you is good and righteous, and I'm going to bring you into my family. I'm going to save you and protect you. The family business is to go and find sinners. Well, and what's a sinner? In order for us to understand what his family business is, we have to understand what is a sinner. So we're going to look into a sinner. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. While we're heading over there, in Romans 3, we're not going to turn there, tells us that a sinner is someone who's fallen short of the glory of God. Someone who hasn't quite reached the mark. But in 1 John 3, 4, we get a clearer picture. 1 John 3, 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. You can't get a better picture than that. A sinner is someone who has transgressed the law. They have someone that have seen the law and says, thou shall not. And they looked at it and says, yeah, but I'm going to do it anyway. They have transgressed the law. They have violated the law. They have violated what God says. This is a standard. This is the limits of what you can and cannot do. Thou shalt not lie. Well, what about a little white lie? Well, the scriptures say, thou shalt not lie. Not even the little white ones. Not even if it gets you out of trouble. Did you clean your room today? Yes, Daddy. And then you hurry up and run off and clean your room before they find out. That's a little white lie, but it's a lie. You have transgressed the law of God. So a sinner is one who transgressed the law. Breaking the law of God is disobeying his commandments. And it makes you a sinner. So we've identified what a sinner is. But Jesus didn't just say, I come to call the sinners. But he said, I come to call the sinner to repentance. So what's repentance? Does it mean just, yeah, sorry, and go on about your business? You know, how many of us as individuals, when someone calls us on something that we did wrong to them, and we just sort of say, sorry, and just walk on. Do we mean it? Was our sorry heartfelt? Did we repent of what we had done? In Matthew 21, we're not going to look there. The idea of repentance is turning back from the way you're going. But let's go over to Luke 18, page 614. Luke 18, verses 13 and 14. We want to understand what repentance is. We've got to build up that picture to understand what the family business is. Luke 18, verse 13 and 14. It says, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." See, repentance is crying out to the mercy of God. It requires a couple things here. One, it says that he couldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven. He wasn't willing to stand up to God and says, God, behold a sinner. He wasn't standing up and making himself seen and known. He was cowering down on the floor saying, God, have mercy upon me, for I'm a sinner. If all you can do is say, God, I'm a sinner, and that's the extent of it, and not understand that you need mercy from God, you haven't repented. He says, cry out, have mercy upon me, a sinner. So you have to recognize that you're a sinner, that you are unworthy to approach God. That's why he wasn't looking up, but he was looking down. I can't approach God. I'm unworthy to approach him. And I need to receive mercy from God. Jesus had identified two different individuals in that passage in Luke 2 that we looked at. The righteous and the sinner. He says, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinner. So if you are righteous, he didn't come to save you. But if you are a sinner, welcome to the club. So am I. And if you are not a sinner, a couple things to know. Jesus didn't come to call you. And you will stand before God in your own righteousness. And you have called God a liar. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, page 717. 1 John 1:10. When my wife was going through this, she looked at that and says, uh-oh, we better have that one backed up. 1 John 1:10. Scriptures say, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we say, look at me, I'm a good person, I have not sinned, I do not need Jesus Christ, you have turned to God and says, God, you are a liar. So we've identified the sinners, we've identified repentance. Now that Jesus has ascended into heaven, does that mean the family business is over with? It's done. He's gone. Well, let's go over to John 20, 21. And that's at page 637. In John 20, 21, let's see if the family business is over with. When the child dies, is it over? John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. The family business isn't over. He's sending more people. Saying, I came to do my Father's business, and now I'm sending you. He's talking to the 12 disciples. And they are to continue on. They are to hand down the message. They are to hand down the business and pass it on to somebody else. To expand it and to grow it, and through the generations being handed down from disciple to disciple to disciple's disciple to through the generations, it's been handed down to you and to me, and we are to hand it down to our children. And so the family business goes on. It continues. So the family business doesn't belong just to Jesus, but to also us also. So I'm going to look at a couple more questions. We need to know how to enter the business. How do you enter the business, the family business of God? Do I find a sign-up sheet in the kitchen and say, yes, I want to enter the business, and sign my name on the sheet and says, I'm in the business. Now I get the profits. How do we enter the business? You know, a lot of times with businesses, you may inherit them. That's how Jesus got it. He inherited it. You may buy the business out. I got enough money. I'm going to go and I'm going to buy this guy's family business, turn it into mine. How do we enter into the family business? Or how does someone enter? So in order to enter into the family business, you have to become a member of the family. So let's go over to Galatians chapter 4, page 686, verses 4 through 7. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. Scriptures tell us, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God, through Christ. See, in order to enter into the family business, you must become a member of the family. Jesus was a member of the family by nature. He was the Son of God by nature. We, on the other hand, are the son of Satan by nature. But God, out of His mercy, tells here in the Scriptures that He redeemed them that were under the law. Those that had the law that gave them guidance and direction, He redeemed them. He purchased them back, and He made them sons, giving them the adoption of sons. So we are adopted. And when you become adopted into a family, you don't get partial benefits. You know, it's not like you have a natural child, and you're going to make sure they're fed and clothed, they go to the best schools, and you take care of them until they're out the door. Then you adopt the child, and, well, whatever the first child doesn't eat, you get to eat. When they're done wearing their clothes, you get them. I don't care if they're the wrong size, the wrong general gender type, doesn't matter. You get them. No, when you become an adopted child, you become part of that family. You're to become one with that family and not separated. In fact, we participated fully in this adoption by all three members of the family of God by nature. Jesus redeemed us. He's the one that purchased us and brought us back. The Father adopted us, didn't leave us on our own, but brought us into the family. And the Spirit dwells in our hearts. And it's the Spirit of God that dwells within us that allow us to look to the Father and cry out, Abba, Father. Just as the choir had sung, Abba, Father. Looking at the preciousness of God as our Father. Once we have been redeemed, we've become sons and entered into the family business. So how do I become a member? Since Jesus redeemed us, the Father adopted us, how does that work? Let's go over to John 1, page 621, verses 12 and 13. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Scriptures tell us, but as many as received Him, Jesus, He to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, the only thing you have to do to enter into the family, to become a child of God, is pay $10 million to the church. Won't happen. People used to think that you got some great cathedrals over in Europe built because people are trying to buy themselves into the family. You can't buy the family business. In the book of Acts, Simon tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wanted to buy the family business. Peter says, can't do it. How do we become a family? Believe. That's it. All I have to do is believe? Yeah, that's it. You want to enter the family of God and have reap all of the benefits of being a child of God, eternal life? The protection of God upon you? All you have to do is believe. Trust God. Give Him of yourself. And it says, just by believing, God gives you the power to become the sons of God. Not by purchasing, not by inheritance, but you get the power by God, by believing. And it says, as a result, as we saw in Galatians, as a result of being a child of God, you have inherited all things through Christ, even the family business. So we inherit the family business through Christ. He was given it. He passed it on to us by redeeming us. We've inherited it as a child. So that leaves us with a great responsibility, doesn't it? If you had a business, let's say you had a restaurant, and your child was going to inherit the business, now what would they have to do? Sit back and say, now I get to relax. I got the business. No. You know, a lot of times we think, sometimes we see people that seem to carry about this attitude that I'm saved now. All I have to do is sit and wait for Jesus. It's all done. I'm done. It's cool. But you've inherited a business. And the business doesn't grow. The business doesn't succeed when you just sit on your duff and do nothing. There's also the view out there, and you hear about it oftentimes, you know what? The family business is for priests, it's for pastors, it's for the professional clergy, the evangelists, the ones who have left the secular industry, entered into the professional ministry, they've got the business, they do the evangelism, we just sit and listen and watch. But as Jesus, and as a believer, as Jesus did, and as us as believers, we're expected to work. If we go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 49, on page 599. Luke 2:49. And Jesus said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I'm just imagining Jesus sitting there scratching his head saying, what are you looking for me for? Isn't it obvious? Well, what I'm supposed to be doing is doing what the Father has told me to do. I'm supposed to be doing the work of the Father. I don't understand what you're looking for me. To him, it was obvious. You're a member of the family, you work. You're a member of the family, you do the business, the family business. So Jesus was commissioned to work by his Father. And so we have been commissioned by him. And after believing on Jesus Christ, having been commissioned by him to work, how do we learn it? How do we figure out what this business does? What does it look like? We've entered the business. Now what? Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, page 701. we begin to get build up the picture of how it is that we figure out what this business is. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. So Paul is writing to Timothy, a pastor setting up churches, and he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Two aspects of this family business thing that are in this verse. One, if you are entering into the business, in other words, you have no clue what the business looks like, I'm just starting out, I'm going to enter into the business, find someone to teach you. Very simple. Find someone to teach you, what is this all about? What is this thing called Jesus? What is this thing called salvation? What does it mean? How does it operate? How does it work? What do I do? Find someone to teach you. Second, if you are in the family business, find someone to teach. You're not left off the hook. Paul says here, he says, the things that thou hast heard of me, in other words, he's saying, what I taught you, I want you, Timothy, to go find someone else and teach them. Timothy found a teacher. Paul found a student. And now Timothy finds a student. We are to teach others. But once you find someone to teach, that doesn't mean, good, my learning's over. But you keep learning as well. You find other people to teach you. You know, I can learn stuff from Victor. I can learn stuff from Joby. I can even learn stuff from Anthony here. And I have. I learn a lot from these young people. Find someone to teach you. Find someone to teach. That's one way that you learn the family business. Let's go over to John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Page 624. Find some more about how do we learn the business. John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, that he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Jesus learned the family business. Sometimes we scratch our heads and say, what, Jesus learned? Yeah, Jesus learned. He learned the family business by watching his Father. Now, how many of you have ever had to train anybody for part of the job? I mean, I've had to train people. If they sit in their office and I sit in my office, what are they going to learn? Not much. If I'm running a family business, you know, maybe I've got a restaurant and my child's going to inherit the business and I want them to learn the business. And I'm out there doing the work and they're in the back room playing video games. Well, they've learned how to beat whatever the game is. I don't even know the names of these games nowadays. Most of the names I hear, I don't want to repeat because I wouldn't want anyone buying them games. But a lot of our families are sitting in the back row playing video games while we're trying to do the Father's business. We have to learn by watching. Which means we also have to find the right person to watch. You know, the right person for a young person to watch and how to conduct the Father's business may not be their father or their mother. It may be someone outside their family. Especially if you come from a family of unbelievers. You're not going to learn how to run the family business, God's business, by watching your father who's an unbeliever. But you probably don't want to watch just one person. You know, Jesus just watched the Father. And we need to watch the Father as well and watch Jesus. We are to learn the family business by watching what God does. Notice what the scripture says. It says, whatsoever, for what things soever he doeth, there also doeth the son likewise. Dad does it, I follow him. I do the same thing he does. I don't just stand there and look at him and say, wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that, you know, you can fillet that steak like that. That's cool. But how do you learn? You got to do it. You know, most of us, many of us have been a Christian for a while. How many of us conducted our lives in a perfect manner from the day of our salvation and never made a mistake? I don't know about you, but I still make them. But I'm learning. We are all to learn. So, we've learned, we've entered the family business by becoming a child of God, trusting Jesus. We learn the family business by watching others, by listening from others, by being taught and by teaching others. Now, what do we do? How is the family business conducted? How is it carried out? It's time to work. Let's go back into Luke and look at a couple of passages there. Luke chapter 2, page 599 again. Luke chapter 2, 42. One side note before I begin there with the rest of it. Luke 2:42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Jesus didn't wait to enter the family business till he had his doctorate. He didn't wait to enter the family business until he had completed what we classify as all of his higher education. He was 12 years old. He was but a youth, younger than Anthony. He was but a youth, and he entered the family business. So there's no time of waiting. It's not like you have to figure out how to grow up first, and then you enter. You work. Let's go over to verses 46 and 47. It says, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. These would be the doctors of the law, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus, when he went to learn, he didn't just stand on the sidelines and watch what all the rabbis were doing and taking notes. Okay, he's doing this and doing that. Okay. And then he got off. Instead, he got in the midst of the people that knew, they were supposed to know. Got into the midst of the doctors, the people that were doing the work, and he asked them questions. So that's one of the things that we ought to be doing. Asking questions. And then answering questions. See, Jesus would ask them a question to try and get them to think about the real meaning of the word, trying to extract out of them, what's it say? What's it mean? How do you live it? And then they would ask him questions. What's it mean? What's it say? How do you live it? And they're standing there scratching their heads saying, this guy's a youth. He's 12 years old. And look what he knows. There's a passage that talks about how they question Jesus. They don't directly question, but they're saying, how does this guy know the law having not learned? In other words, it's sort of the picture. They went back and they checked the rabbi list. The kids that have gone through rabbi school and says, nope. Jesus of Nazareth isn't on it. How'd he learn? And they question. I mean, here's this guy that knows, seems to keep up with us and seems to know in many ways more than we do, and yet he never went to rabbi school. So he asked questions and he answered. Let's go over to 1 Peter, page 714. 1 Peter 3:15. First Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, someone comes to you and says, you know, Al, I don't understand. How can you be so joyous all the time? You look at him and says, I don't know, and walk off. How can you believe this thing called the Bible? I don't know, I just do. But a lot of us seem to carry that attitude about us. I don't want to answer your questions. He says, always be ready. Why do you believe the Bible? Why do you believe Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead? Why do you believe the Word of God, the Bible, is the Word of God? Can you defend it? I'm not saying that you'll be able to stand there as, you know, Anthony being able to stand up against a theology, that's a guy that's been teaching theology for 40 years, and be able to answer every single question and refute his poor doctrine. But he should be able to defend himself. See, this is the Word of God. It follows history. It follows reality. It can be proven this way and that way. I know it's the Word of God because it is. And I believe it's the Word of God because it is. It doesn't become the Word of God because I believe it. It becomes the Word of God because it is. Have an answer for the hope that lies within. And it says, always be ready in meekness and in fear. So when someone comes to Al and asks him, how can you believe? He doesn't stand up real proud and says, this is why, and believe me. No, meekness. He ought to be able to handle it very well. Al Meek. It's there in his name. With meekness. With humility. Showing people from the Word of God. How can you believe in the resurrected Christ? Let's go over to 2 Timothy, page 702, chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul tells Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. You give people the word of God. Anytime, anywhere, anyway. Someone comes to you and says, you know, I've got this little problem. You look at your watch. I'm sorry, it's not Sunday. I can't talk to you right now about it. No, it says in season, out of season. You got the time? Do it. You don't have the time? Do it. Preach the word. Faith cometh by hearing. And that of the word of God. And we're talking about during Sunday school. How many of us have faith because we saw the risen Lord? We have faith because we hear the word of God. So we preach the word. We give people the word of God. And we show them what it is and what it says. And we use the word of God to convict, not because we're superior and they're inferior, but because God is superior. To correct, not because we're right, they're wrong, but because God is right. And to exhort, because God wants us to exhort and encourage. So what else do we do? We said that we have to learn from others. We have to teach others. We have to preach to others. With meekness and in fear, go to 1 John chapter 1, page 717. 1 John 1, 1 to 3. This is a sort of a summary of what you do. What do you tell people when you're telling them, giving them the word of God? 1 John 1, 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What do? We tell people our life. What have you seen? I have seen the miraculous hand of God in work in my life. What have you heard? I have heard how Jesus Christ rose from the dead, being not guilty, but taking upon himself my sins. That I can stand before God and say, I am righteous because of Jesus Christ. I am righteous because he saved me. Not because I am, but because he is and he did. How has God manifested himself in your life? One of the things I will never, I don't think I can ever forget. I forgot the time once. I figured out the timing. But I'll never forget the event. Driving down a freeway, blacking out. Waking up on the wrong side of the freeway. 4:30 in the afternoon, going up the on-ramp. God had his hand on my life. Didn't allow anything else to be damaged but a fence, my truck, and my head. And that was so hard, it wasn't going to break it anyway. But God used that moment, that time, to show me the reality of his presence, his love, his grace, and his mercy. I wish I would have walked with him sooner than that. So we need to communicate the truth of God's love. We need to tell other people about the great gift of salvation that is available. I'm going to wrap this all up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. The scriptures tell us, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." What's the family business? Reconciling man to God. Jesus Christ completed it, and he gives us the honor and the privilege of to show people they can be reconciled to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, that you did not leave us out in the cold, but you have cleansed us. You have brought us into your presence, and you have given us hope. You have given us joy and peace and salvation. And you have given us, as children of God, work to do. Let us work. Let us be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.